Hey, this is Steve Allen. I'm the pastor of Destiny Christian Center in LaPlace, Louisiana. I want to thank you for joining us today on the Discovering Your Destiny broadcast. I hope it builds your faith, helps you to grow in every area of your life. Enjoy this message.
You know, this year we've declared that we're going to be people of no negativity. And this year is our theme. We're making sure that we eliminate the negativity out of our lives and around out of the lives of the people that's around us. Now, so we're going to deal with no negativity today. I want to begin by saying, you know, it's easy to see things that's wrong in this world. You really don't have to look far to see something negative in our lives and in the lives of people around us. We turn on our television, all we see is negativity. The media thrives off of negativity. That's why these reality shows are so popular, because the more negative, the more popular it is. People love drama, and people love negativity. So negativity is all around us. But what I want to communicate to you is, we don't have to allow what's around us to be in us. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. And even though we're in this world, and this world is a negative place, 2 Corinthians 5 and 20 says that we're ambassadors for Christ. So we represent Christ here on this earth. Now, the first step starts with your mind. You've got to determine to think God's way instead of thinking this negative world's way. And then the second step is your mouth. You got to start speaking God's way instead of speaking the world's way. And then it moves from your mind and your mouth to your actions. You start acting in line with your new way of thinking and your new way of talking. So the first step is your mind. Your thinking has to change. Go to Proverbs 23 and 7 for me. Proverbs 23 and 7. Keep your Bibles out. We're going to look at a few scriptures. Listen to what it says. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh, we're going to just read the A part of that. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, that word heart means mind. So as a man thinks in his mind, so is he. The quality of your life is an indication of the type of thoughts that you think. If your thoughts are negative, your life is going to be negative. Our best friends or our worst enemies are the thoughts that we have about ourselves. Now, what we have to understand is, and you can attest to this, our minds are under attack all the time. The warfare is in our minds, but our victory has already been settled. So one thing you have to know is that the only power the devil has is the power that you give him. We have been declared victorious already. Come on, somebody say, I'm victorious. Now, the law of the mind states that our thoughts create our emotions and our emotions influence our behavior. So everything starts in the mind. Negative mind, negative life. Positive mind, positive life. The next step is your mouth or your words. Your words are vital to your life. Yes, yes. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21, you don't have to find it. We know the scripture. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And it's basically talking about the words that you use regarding yourself. We have to stop cursing our own destinies. And listen to me. It doesn't matter what other folk are saying about you. But what's important is, what are you saying about yourself? We've got to stop using all of these negative words regarding ourselves. We say stuff. Let me ask you something. Before you speak, you have to ask yourself the question, do I want what I'm getting ready to say? Do I want? And let me tell you where I am. I don't allow people to even play with me as it relates to my words. You know, people will tell you things like, hey, you got it going on. And now somebody tells you that, what's your response? I ain't hitting on nothing. ain't nothing to me. Well, really? Is that what the word says about you? I use this example all the time. I was at a funeral, and this pastor was joking around with me after the funeral was over. He says, I saw you come in today. Boy, you had to walk sideways down the aisle because you got so much money. So he thought I was going to say, man, I ain't got no money. You know what I said? I got it, baby. I got it. I got it. I don't know who told you, but I got it. I'm not going to speak poverty over my own life. I'm not going to speak negative words over my own life. So I want to make sure, because the power of life and death is in your mouth. Negative speech equals a negative life. Positive speech equals a positive life. Today we need to start declaring how good our future looks. I want you to have the audacity to really believe God's word. Now, in Mark 9:23, Jesus says, if thou can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. You got to start, you know, look past all the stuff that you've gone through and don't allow your past to dictate your future. We're in the last Sunday of January. It's moving fast. We're in the last Sunday of January. So we gotta stop making all these negative confessions about our own lives, because death and life is in the power of our tongues. Not only that, but we shouldn't speak negative about other people. Yeah, I know. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. And then in verse 20, he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Now, one thing you have to understand is that these verses are connected. So when I allow corrupt communication to come out of my mouth, I then grieve the Holy Spirit. And then when I grieve the Holy Spirit, it then makes me powerless. So I can't allow negative. You got to keep your mouth off of people. Stop talking negative about people. Let me see the hands of people here that said something negative about somebody this week. Let me see your hands. You said something. I want you to look around. Look around. You said something negative about somebody this week. All right, put your hands down. Now, I'm about to make everybody, the ones that didn't raise their hand, I'm about to make all y'all out of a liar. I'm going to tell you one word, and then you're going to have to admit that you said something negative. Trump! Okay. I'm going to tell you ain't said nothing negative. Yeah. Do I need to take a vote again? No, that's all right. After creating every aspect of this natural world, God said, it is good. And then after creating man, God said, it is good. The prophet Jeremiah gave us a word from the Lord in Jeremiah 29:11 that says, for I know the thoughts and I know the plans that I have for you, plans for welfare and peace, not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. God intends for your future to be better than your past. He intends for your hopes to be in something good, rather than the expectation of something negative. You ought to wake up every day and say, this is the day that the Lord have made. I'm going to rejoice and I am going to be glad in this day. And listen to me, you've got to start confessing. Listen, you ought to confess something good is going to happen for me today. Come on, say that with me. Say, something good is going to happen for me today. See, one thing we have to stop doing is we've got to stop allowing the days to dictate to us, and you've got to command your own day. You get up in the morning, you say, this is going to be a great day. This day is going to be full of favor. This day is going to be full of joy. This day is going to be full of peace. You've got to expect it. You got to command your, tell your neighbor, say, command your day. Now, let me show you what to expect. Go to 2 Corinthians 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Listen to what Paul says. He says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Now here's what the Message Bible says. It says, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. Now, what you have to understand is that when Paul wrote this, he was in trouble. But in the midst of the trouble, he says, God always causes me to win. Now, I'll confess over my own life, I always win. That's what the word says, that God always causes me to triumph. If that's the case, I always win. Won't you confess that? Say, I always win. Listen, don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by what you hear. Don't be moved by your feelings. You've got to know what this word says. And even when it looks like you're losing, you're winning. When the smoke clears, your hand will be raised in victory. I can't lose with God. So we got to break this cycle of negativity. I told my wife that last night. Listen. See, this is nothing but an attack of the devil. And see, you got to realize that. And I told her, I said, now, you know, the devil's going to do what he does, but we just got to do what we do. And what do? We believe God. The Bible tells us to fight the good fight of faith. It's a faith fight, but it's a good fight because we win. Somebody needs to get that. Some of you are dealing with some stuff right now, and you need to know that no matter what it looks like right now, the word says that God always causes you to triumph. Don't let the devil play with your mind. Don't let the devil play. Listen, first thing we do when we get attacked, let's say it's an attack on your body. First thing you do is you go start Googling stuff. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. You know I'm telling the truth. Let me see now what my symptoms are. And see, if you don't watch it, you'll accept something in your life. How you gonna check Google and you won't check the word? I see what Google says. But the word says I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Oh, I'm going to preach to me today. I'm already healed. God always causes me to triumph. When the smoke clears, my hand will be raised in victory. And see, that's why I don't wait. That's why I don't wait until the manifestation of the blessings. I go ahead and start praising God in the midst of whatever I'm dealing with. See, sometimes you just got to give him the sacrifice of praise. I don't feel like it. I can't find a reason right now to praise him. But God, I'm going to give you the sacrifice of praise anyway. I may not have a whole lot of money right now. I may have pains in my body. But you know what? I'm going to praise through this pain. I wish I had some praises in here. So we're going to break this cycle of negativity. Now the truth is, we all have the power to create our own environments. And our environments, which speaks of what's going on around us externally, really begins internally with what's going on in your heart. What's happening on the outside begins really on the inside. Let me show you something. Go to Matthew 12. Matthew, 12th chapter of Matthew, verses 33 through 35. Let me see if I can calm down a little bit. Yeah, y'all got to celebrate with me. I just got good news, baby. Yeah, man. I wasn't this boisterous at 8 o'clock, but I got a text. Hallelujah. Yeah, man. So listen to this. Matthew 12, 33 through 35. Either make the tree good or his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Your future is intimately intertwined with the things that's in your heart, whether they're good or bad, negative or positive. And the good news is that you don't have to go from one negative cycle to another. The Lord is ready to set you free. But the change starts from within. See, a lot of us have never really dealt with the cause of our negative thoughts, or the cause of our negative attitudes, or the cause of our negative words. And if you refuse to deal with your heart issues, you'll keep changing what's going on externally. And then you'll tend to go through life convincing yourself that everybody else is the problem. Because it's always easier to blame other folk rather than looking or taking an honest look at ourselves. Now, Jesus says in our scripture that we would know what's inside a person by looking at the fruit that they produce. Negative fruit is a sign of a spiritual heart problem. But we're believing God. We're believing God for healed hearts and positive fruit. Look at a very familiar scripture. Look at John 10:10. John 10:10. You there? The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Listen to what Jesus says. I am come. Hello? And I mean, that's okay. I ain't gonna put the light on you, sorry. You're a visitor. Look, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, here's the Amplified version of the Bible. Listen to what it says. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life. God wants you to enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Now, let me say this to you. Most of the time when we read this verse and it starts talking about life in abundance, the first thing we think about is finances. And listen, don't get me wrong. I know God wants to bless us financially. But the abundant life goes beyond just your finances. This abundant life is the whole of your life. The abundant life speaks of total prosperity. Your marriage, your children, your emotions, your body, your spiritual life, your mind, and even your finance. Every area of your life we're talking about. Because what good is it to have money and everything else is a mess? What good is it to have a big home and I don't even want to go there? What good is it? What sense does that make? My family is all torn apart, but my bank account is loaded. So he wants us to have total prosperity. Somebody say total prosperity. Jesus says the thief, which is Satan, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So listen to me. Whenever there's stealing going on and killing going on and destroying going on, we know where the source is. It's the devil's job to steal, kill, and destroy. See, a lot of times we get mad at folk and we're not getting mad at the source. You're blaming your brother and you're blaming your sister, but you're not seeing what's pushing your brother and sister to do. So he comes to steal. Wow, let me just stop there for a second. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if he came to steal something, I must have something. If he came to kill something, that must be something that he wants. If he comes to destroy, I must have something he wants to destroy. So I already have the victory. See, one thing you have to understand is you have it. The devil's just trying to take what you have. And what you have must be valuable. Because thieves don't steal junk. Anybody ever had somebody to break in your house? Let me see. Anybody here ever broken somebody's house? Somebody said, I've been delivered. So when a thief breaks in your house, a thief is not looking for your junk. You never came over and said, my trash can is missing. Somebody done been up in here and stole my trash can. A thief ain't looking for your trash. A thief is looking for your goods. So it is with the devil. The devil is out to steal what you have that's valuable. Oh, my God. And listen to what Jesus says. He says, I came to reverse the curse. I came to heal you in everywhere that you hurt, even your heart. Even your heart. And once you allow the Lord to heal your heart, nothing can hold you back. Did you hear me? Once you allow the Lord to heal your heart, nothing can hold you back. Go to Proverbs 4:23. Let me show you this. And I'm believing God that there's some folk in here today that came in here with hurt hearts and broken hearts. But the Spirit of the Lord is here. He's healing your broken heart. And the devil's not going to hold you back any longer. I speak over your life now. The devil's no longer going to hold you back. No longer is he going to be able to steal what God has for you. The abundant life belongs to you right now in the name of Jesus. I speak healing in your life. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Amplified Version of the Bible says this. Keep and guard. Listen, keep and guard your heart. You got to guard your heart with all diligence and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. See, when your heart is right, it opens you up for God's power in your life. Listen, progress in your life, not driven necessarily by your abilities, is driven by the quality of your heart. A good heart can make up for the lack of ability. Did you hear what I said? The Bible said, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And I want you to always remember this. Excellence in abilities can get your foot in certain doors, but it takes character to sustain your position. You got to make sure that your heart is right. Listen, a lot of times the enemy will have us to hold people in our heart and hold situations in our heart, in our hearts, so he can stop the flow of God's blessings in your life. Now, some of you here today, you need to hear me. Some of you here today, you've got people that you've been holding in your heart, and you think that you're hurting those people, but you're actually hurting yourself. And what you have to learn to do is you've got to release those people so God can release his blessings in your life. I decided, I don't care what you've done to me, nobody is worth what God has for me. I'm not going to miss my blessing because I've been hurt by you. You hurt me once, I'm not going to allow you to keep hurting me. See, because if I keep you in my heart, I allow you to continue to hurt me and stop what God has for my life. We got to get our hearts right. Why don't we just forgive folk like God told us to do? I don't know, this is for somebody. Why don't we just forgive people? See, because the Bible says that if I can't forgive my brother, then I can't get forgiveness. So if that's the case, that means that I've got to live perfectly in deed, thought, and words for the rest of my life. Now, how many of you can do that? How many of you, for the rest of your life, you know you can live perfectly in deeds, thoughts, and in words? I mean, you can't think anything negative for the rest of your life. I'm talking about when they cut you off in traffic. You know, somebody cut me off and almost ran me off the road. Do you know I found myself chasing these people? And you know, the Holy Spirit was in the car with me and said, "Now, what you gonna do when you get them, Rev?" what you gonna do when you catch up with them? What you gonna, you gonna send them the peace sign minus one finger? What you gonna do? You got your big old head on the billboard. What you gonna do, Rev? So if I can't live perfectly in word, deed, and thoughts, that means I'm going to need forgiveness. But I can't get what I won't give. See, I got to keep my heart right. See, a lot of you, God's got some awesome things in store for your life. God's made some serious promises for you. You've had people in the previous generations that prayed over you and prophesied over your life. And some of us are not seeing what we thought we should see. It's time for us to check our hearts. Am I really holding somebody? Who is it that could come in this service right now and take your praise away from you? Think about that. Who is it that can come in here and change your total attitude while you're in church? I mean, you're in praising God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And then you fool around and look. Now, what's she doing in here? This ain't nothing but the devil. I'm in here trying to have me a good service, and then the devil just walk right in. That's too much control to give people. Oh, glory to God. Now, in Matthew 22, and you start turning there, Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39, Jesus basically gives us the steps to healing negative cycles in our lives. Go to Matthew 22. Glory to God. And we're going to read verses 37 through 39. Listen to this. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets." Now, the first step is you've got to love God with all your heart. Only a genuine, intimate relationship with God can heal all your wounds and help you overcome all your heart issues. Now, what does it mean to love God with all your heart? 1 John 5 and 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." So, to love God is to obey him. Did you hear me? Love for God equals obedience. Basically, it's saying you get to the place where you say, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." You can't tell me that you love God and you're disobedient to his word. Look how y'all looking at me. To love God equals obeying God. So when God tells me to do something, see, I can lift my hands, I can shout, I can do somersaults down the aisle, but if I'm not obeying his word, I don't love him. You can't tell me that he commands us to do certain things. He tells us to love our enemies. Do I love God enough to love my enemies? Ooh, I'm about to mess you up. You can't tell me you love God and you're not a tither. Thank you. Thank you, visitors. Thank you, visitors. Thank you. You can't tell me that. See, because love for God equals obedience to God. So if we say we love God, we've got to obey his word. Your relationship with God is not measured by how loud you shout. Your relationship with God is not measured by not even by how many times you come to church. And let me tell you something. The Lord gave me a word for this year. He says that this year there's going to be an obvious difference between the hearers and the doers of his word. There'll be a difference that you will be able to see, an obvious difference between the hearers and the doers of his word. You know, sometimes I'm teaching, and I'm teaching stuff that I've taught already, and people say, oh, I know that. You don't know it until you're doing it. The second step to healing this negative cycle is you got to love yourself. Now, you would probably think that the second step would be to love your neighbor. But Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. So I can't love you unless I love me. You got to love yourself. And see, sometimes we can be our own worst enemies. You got to stop downing yourself. Change the words that you say about yourself. Start saying things like, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Start saying things like, I'm made in God's image. Now, we've all made mistakes in the past. And if we repented for them, it's under the blood of Christ. Are y'all with me here? And if God forgives me, I surely can forgive myself. So we have to love ourselves. Now, you can't tell me that you love you if you keep doing things to hurt you. You can't tell me you love yourself and you're just hurting yourself. What do you mean by that? Well, where are my smokers? Where are my chimneys? Where are my smokers? You have a pack of cigarettes. You can't tell me that you love yourself when you can get this pack of cigarettes and you can turn it to the side and read the words on the side that say, now listen, if you open me up and you pull one of me out and you put me to your lips and you light me up, I'm going to kill you. And you absolutely will do that with no problem at all. But you say you love yourself? Oh, Lord, can I say that? You can't tell me that you love yourself and you're hopping in and out of all these different beds. When the record is between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, we have the highest rate of HIV. But you love yourself. Years ago, everybody got holy after Magic Johnson. But how long did that last? Now, listen, I want y'all to know something. Let me... Confession is good for the soul. I'm not sitting here talking to you now because I've lived this life all my days. First time visiting, y'all may not know, but I was a mess. My wife and I are celebrating 33 years of marriage. Those claps are for her. Because the first half of those years was spent in me being a fool. All kinds of infidelity. All kinds of infidelity. I was a professional, she says. So I'm not sitting here judging you or talking bad to you. Listen. But let me tell you something. I'll never forget, man. I'll never forget, probably about 10, 12 years ago, I was buying some more life insurance, and the people came out and they said, all right, we got to test you. I said, all right, well, come on in. And they tested me, and I ain't heard from them for about a week. And I'm like, what? I'm trying to figure out how long it take for this stuff. I mean, you know, man, the people ain't called. I'm checking the mailbox. Anybody heard from the people? I had a horrible attitude with everybody. Nobody knew what I was dealing with, but in my mind, I'm trying to figure out, why is it taking so long for me to get some results? So then I'm going back in my mind, Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Lord. Lord, look, I know you are you are a creative God, and I need a creative miracle here today. I mean, I'm just doing it. And then the people finally call. They say, oh, yeah, you good. I'm like, what took you so long to call me? Let me go through all of this stuff. So you think after going through that, I want to go through that again? Huh? Do you think that? I got to love myself more. I got to love myself more than that to put myself in harm's way. Woo, preacher. Third step of healing this negative cycle is you got to love your neighbor. We got to learn how to love people. And the more you love God, the more he puts his love in your heart for other people. And you got to love people even though they're not like you. They may not be your color. They may not be as smart as you are. They may not be on your level economically. They may not think like you. They may not be as spiritual as you are. And hear this, just because people are different doesn't mean that they're your enemy. We got to learn how to love our neighbors. And boy, this is a big problem in the body of Christ. That's why you have all these churches warring against each other. We want everybody to do everything the way we're doing it, and if they're not doing it the way we're doing it, then they're our enemy. That's not right. Everybody's not going to do what you do. Even in this building right here, everybody's different. You got some people that's very boisterous. Some other folk are very reserved. That don't mean that you're wrong and the other person's right. When I first started preaching or pastoring, I used to be a hooper. I don't have anything against hooping. I just changed my style of preaching because God told me he wanted me to teach the word. I don't have anything against hooping, but everybody know what hooping is?
Yeah.
Anybody here don't know what hooping is? You know what hooping is? You know what hooping is? You don't know what hooping is? She don't have a clue. I'm going to show you. I'm going to teach you what hooping is. So, when I used to preach when I first started preaching. I would prepare my message, but I would work more on my closing of the message than I did the actual body of the message. I really wasn't worried about getting any word. I just wanted to show that everybody was excited. And I would give the organist a look. And then he started doing that right there. And then I said, I got to close here now, children. But if I don't get back here no more, I want you to know that I'm in the hands of the man that steals the water. I'm in the hands of the man that calms the sea. And look, when you're hooping, it don't matter what you're saying. People shouting anyway. You can say, Humpty Dumpty went up on a wall, and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's men and all the king's horses couldn't put old Humpty back again. And look, then we spiritualize Humpty Dumpty. Oh, but they called on the king's men, and they called on the king's horses, but they didn't call on the king. So, that's the way I used to preach. That's the way I used to preach. Let me get some water. Thank God for deliverance. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. So, I changed my style of preaching. I changed my style of preaching. The Lord told me, and again, let me explain something to you. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. My only issue is, don't give me dessert unless you give me a meal. And see, we have been focused on just dessert with no meals. So I don't have anything against hooping at all. Just give me some word. So when I start teaching, our members start they saw the change in me, so they start condemning other churches. Oh, your pastor still hoop? Our pastor don't do all that foolishness no more. Now, there's the same people that just finished shouting 2 weeks prior. There's nothing wrong. If that's what that person is doing to get the word across, as long as they're getting the word, hey, man, we're all in this thing together. I can't make you me, and I'm not going to be you. But you do what you do. And right around the corner on Airline Highway, there is a Popeye's Chicken next door to a church's. Right next door, only in La Place. You got two chicken joints right next to each other. Now, if you do the research, they're both owned by the same company. So you'll never hear the manager at churches condemning Popeyes, and Popeyes is not going to condemn churches because they work for the same company. It's only us that condemn each other. And we work for the same company? How can I be against your church and your church couldn't be against our church when we all work for the same boss? We got to get together. Though I may not be you and you may not be me, that doesn't mean we've got to be enemies. Just like churches and Popeyes. Some people like it spicy, and then other folk like big old chicken. Y'all know that chicken's incubated. Y'all know something wrong with it. I ain't never seen no big old chicken. But anyway, let me give you my last scripture. Let me close. 1 John 4:20-21. 1 John 4:20-21. It is a little chilly in here. 1 John 4, and I've been hooping. So y'all know, y'all put that on. 1 John 4:20-21. Listen to this. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Listen, when the wounded places in your heart are healed, your hearts are healed, everything around you is going to be changed. Your heart, when it's whole, your life is going to begin to change. This year, we're declaring a war on negativity. I just need everybody to the top of your voice, let me just hear you say, no negativity.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, there's just a few things I'd love for you to do. First, subscribe to our show. That way, the most recent episode will be in your feed. Secondly, if this ministry has impacted you and you'd like to help us to continue to reach others, visit our website at destinychristian.org/radio. That's destinychristian.org/radio. I'll see you next time on Discovering Your Destiny with Steve Allen.